The choices you make with your lifestyle, your money, every single day influence your future. Become informed. Act with purpose. Build your tomorrow. This podcast is dedicated to sharing ideas that you can use to take ownership of your financial future. Most Americans have little or no net worth. By being purposeful with what we earn, I believe we can change that. Welcome to Money is Personal, the Briggs Financial Podcast. Salutations, greetings, and hello. My name is Stephen Briggs. I am the owner of Briggs Financial. Welcome to Money is Personal, episode number 46. Jingle bells, budget smells. It's after Labor Day. And you know what that means? It means back to school time, Stephen. Yes, but those sales at the store have come and gone. Well, then it must be Halloween time. I agree. It certainly is Halloween time, and that's a fun time. And much ado regarding it. Gotta get all the candy ready and the costumes and maybe a Halloween party and all that. And that's a $9 billion a year industry. But I want you to think just a little further down the road. You're like, no. No, you can't already be thinking about that. And I'm like, yes. Yes, I can. There are already the holiday lights and fake snow being sold. Holiday sales are what I'm talking about. And we're talking specifically, according to the National Retail Federation, they look at November and December sales when they talk about holiday sales. And according to the National Retail Federation, 30 to 40% of a retailer's entire sales for the year happen in those 61 days. You think Halloween's big, it's a $9, $10 billion industry? The holiday sales industry is an $800 billion industry. So, Stephen, you're going to commit a crime here. Why are we talking? It's September. That's November, December. Why are we talking about this now? Well, there's several reasons. One, it's much easier for you to make a rational decision about how you spend your money and how you plan on attacking this holiday season when you're not caught in the heat of the moment of a million advertisements in front of you, family members calling, making travel plans, kids are in school, kids are getting sick, whatever is going on. It's far easier to do this type of planning well in advance. You're going to make decisions that tend to be less emotionally driven and more rationally driven, which is better for your finances overall. The other reason, and we'll talk about this in a few minutes, is I believe the retail season is going to start much earlier this year than in years past. And it's not just because retailers would like to earn more money, because they would, but there are some real large issues going on in the market that may very well drive retailers to offer more incentives and start getting that ball rolling much quicker, anticipating potential problems down the line. So let me give you first a process of how to approach this. And then in those shopping tips, I'm going to talk a bit about what sort of things I kind of see happening out there and the conversations that are being had by the major retailers and manufacturers of the things that you buy, and we'll hopefully give you some, arm you with some good information to think about as you start to approach the holiday season. So, quick plan. First step in this is I want you to think about how much in total you plan to spend on the holiday season. I want you to include Thanksgiving, as well as whatever holiday you celebrate in December, and New Year's potentially. I want you to include travel. I want you to include if there are plane tickets for things or gas that you need to take care of that, food while you're on the road or while you're traveling, any activities you plan to do during the holiday season, If you're preparing food, if you're going to have a big family gathering, how much money that's going to cost. It does cost money to do that. As well as presents. Step two. Once that you get an idea of what that total is going to look like, I want you to really think hard about that number. And I'm talking, this may take you a day or two. You may come back to these questions and set out a number. In step two, I want you to write down exactly what you plan to spend on and how much you believe it will cost. I want you to write this literally line item by line item. So from the turkey and cranberry sauce and the wonderful things I'm sure you use to make your mashed potatoes and stuffing. Well, Steven, there's potatoes and mashed potatoes. Yes, there's more to it than that. I want you to write down how much you plan to make, how much it will cost. I want you to go through this exercise because you start getting in your mind at that point, okay, this is what the holidays actually cost. What this actually means, how much of an impact this really is. Because the thing is, many consumers, most consumers, take upwards of 3 months into the following calendar year to pay off credit cards from the previous holiday season. That cannot be how we live moving ahead. That is not a sustainable way of budgeting and spending our money when you're spending an entire quarter of the year or relying on a tax refund to pay for holiday spending rather than, you know, we need to show some discipline and save up for that experience and not put ourselves in the position of having a big credit card bill and interest rates. And it just compounds. It's more money going away. And probably money, if you look back, you go, you know, we could have avoided some of that. Yeah, well, we're going to avoid that. We're going to head that off in the past, literally, by being prepared. So you're going to write out exactly what you plan to spend on, how much it will cost, item by item. Now, when you get to gifts, what I want you to do is not list exactly what you're going to buy, because you probably have a number of ideas for most of your family members. But I want you to write down what dollar value you're willing to spend and who you're going to spend that on. When I work with clients, many times they'll come up with a number like, well, I'm going to spend $750 on presents. And I say, okay, well then list out how you're going to spend that $750. And many times when they get done, they go, you know, this is a lot of money being spent on presents now that I have to write this all out. Yep. You start realizing that your money actually costs you money. And many times I will see them going, you know what, maybe we can get away with this for $650 or $500 or $550 or some number that's lower than that. You go, you know what, we can handle this. We really couldn't handle that, or that would have added a lot more pressure. Now notice again, I'm going to reinforce this. I did not say list what items you're going to give, but how much in terms of your resources you plan to commit to each of those slots, to each of those people. Now I want to talk about shopping tips for gifts. One, first of all, when you go and buy for somebody, if you're considering the idea of buying several small gifts in lieu of a larger present because you think several small gifts will be better received, typically that's not true. There were some studies done in 2013 and 2014 that actually showed that adults tend to gravitate toward that one large gift, and even older teenagers, one large gift over multiple small gifts. Kids are not the same way. Kids love having multiple smaller gifts. I know the idea of keeping the same number of presents for each child, so they all open kind of together and they feel like even if every item isn't the same price, that everyone got the same number of things. And they do perceive that pretty well. But as the person that's receiving gifts gets older, consider condensing that down. One larger gift is psychologically, it's just received, it means a whole lot more. Second, and I alluded to this earlier in this episode, trade tariffs are likely going to impact this holiday season in a substantial way. So what that's going to mean is retailers right now are going to be more inclined to try to offer more discounts and incentives now, because here's what's being talked about. From a retailer's point of view, they're trying to talk with manufacturers about somehow splitting the cost or splitting the pain of the tariffs. So the manufacturers are going to take some sort of pricing hit. The retailers are going to take some sort of pricing hit. And we're going to pay some amount more on the shelf. And I'm not hearing, we're a year ago, or, you know, or half a year ago, I was hearing these retailers and manufacturers saying, hey, for the time being, we're going to absorb that cost. They're not talking like that anymore. They're very much opening up to, we're going to share these costs, but the consumer is definitely going to be paying. They're very definitive about now about the consumer will see increased prices on the shelf. So when you hear CEOs and you hear, you know, leaders in these industries talking like that, I believe them. And two, what that means to me is that they're going to be more inclined to try to get your money ahead of even more tariffs coming down, where they'll have no choice but to pass even more of the price and cost onto the shelf by virtue of there just being no more margin to give on either side. So when you see, you know, even as early as late September, early October, you may see some deals that if you're looking for a new TV or you're looking for some other item, you know, that, you know, especially if it's a hot ticket item, if it looks like a decent deal, I encourage you to really think about taking advantage of it. I'll give you a good example. Last year, I was sitting in my office and I was working on stuff. And I normally on my television, I have CNBC running during the day, just as noise more than anything else. But as I was working on writing some emails, I heard a pop, which wasn't a big deal. But about 30 seconds later, I started to smell something. And I could tell immediately it was electrical smoke. Like, it's just such a distinct, acrid smell. I've smelled it before, and I'm going, oh no, something's wrong. So I ran into the next room, and my TV had caught fire. So I grabbed it, I unplugged the TV first, pulled the power entirely. Grabbed the TV from the wall, it's smoking, it's up, and we, at that point, already had snow in Chicago. So I took my TV, walked outside, and threw it into a snowbank to cool it off, because it just flat out, it's on fire. When I checked on it a while later, I did crack it open, and found that power supply in the TV had been compromised. And so I would, you know, for how little, you know, I had paid for that TV, I went, well, looks like I'm buying a new TV that's a $160 part. I'm not going to do that, let alone the needing the expertise to fix it. So I went shopping for a new TV, and there were some decent deals, you know, from the major retailers. And I actually had found at a particular retailer, a TV that was identical in specs with maybe some new features. Because, I mean, that TV was 7-8 years old. But new features, same dimensions, you know, for a really terrific price. I'd say, you know, easily say 40% off regular price. 40-50% off, somewhere in there. So I said, one, I need a TV at some point, so I'm going to make a decision here. But the second part is, you know, how much more can they cut this price, really? And when I started to research that model in other years or that, I went, you know, I don't think they have much more room to cut. And so I went ahead and I said, you know what, I'm just going to buy it. If they discount it 10 bucks more, 20 bucks more, 50 bucks more, how heartbroken am I? Do I feel like I got ripped off in some way? No, not at all. And so I went ahead and bought it, and it ended up being the best price that entire holiday season. And it was pre-Black Friday. It was the beginning of November where I was able to pick up, it was a Vizio TV. I want to say $300 or something for a 55-inch. And I went, I believe I won. I believe I won the game. But what it also said to me was, boy, they're willing to offer these, and they won't say the biggest sale on earth. They won't necessarily be doorbuster in terms of advertising, But if you're just kind of keeping your eyes open and you're knowing your mind's eye, kind of what you're looking for and how much it costs and that type of thing, you can find some pretty strong deals pre Black Friday, Cyber Monday, where there's more hype and frankly more expense given to advertising and to pushing those deals out. And you'll find yourself competing with far less people for those sales. That's also a big reason why being prepared is important. And the thing is, in terms of people who are prepared and more spontaneous with their shopping, it's about a 60-40 split. More people than not tend to do at least some sort of planning, but 4 out of 10 don't. 4 out of 10 just jump on Amazon and let's go. And it's not a horrible strategy, but it's to say there's money to be saved and a way of helping get what you really want to have happen, which is getting the gifts you want for the people you want to give them for, and being deliberate about how much money you're actually willing as an individual or as a family to commit to that season, and still be able to put money into your savings, into retirement, not sit with credit cards for months on end. Because at the end of the day, and I'm going to leave this as my final thought on this episode, if any of my friends ever wanted me to be in pain, to judge me for what I spend during the holidays, or for me to be in some sort of financial straits because of what I could or could not provide or give over the holiday season, those are not very good friends. If they want me to financially be burdened by gifts and by the things that happen during the holidays, that's not good friends and family. And at the end of the day, I think the people that love you and care about you should do so without qualification. And should do so, I mean, without prejudgment. And you should not be compromising your personal finances, your family's finances, frankly, your future and your financial security over the holidays. If you're part of the family that travels, and I've got family that travels, and we travel sometimes as well, maybe that means we don't give as big a gifts because, hey, we're spending 2/3 of our holiday budget on plane tickets or getting in the car and road tripping it for 2 days, whatever your tradition is. No, we can't do as much because we're doing a lot more elsewhere. But at the end of the day, you need to stand up for yourself, for your family's, or your personal spending and your wallet, and say, I can do up to this, but I can't do more than that. Or I'm not willing to do more than that. It's not you being Scrooge McDuck to do that. It's being a responsible adult and a prudent consumer to say, I can go up to a point. This is where I'm comfortable. And you should feel good about that. And so to that end, I'll put this as an offer to you here at the end. If you're looking at your holiday spending and you want to sanity check this, message me, Stephen@BriggsWealth.com. Send me an email. Happy to set up a 15-20-minute meeting, talk with you about your holiday spending, help you get a game plan for this. No strings attached, nothing at all. Just if you need someone to do a bit of a head check, a brain check for you to say, yep, what I'm seeing here makes sense. Or if you even want to just go back and forth via email real quick and say, this is what we're looking at doing. Does this make sense? And have an expert set of eyes look at that and go, yeah, that makes sense. Or have you thought about or tweaked this? Or, hey, you need to go back to the drawing board because this doesn't look quite right. Or you're not making, there's something here you're missing. So I'm happy to do that for you. Stephen, Steven, @BriggsWealth.com. On that note, that will conclude this week's episode of Money is Personal. Thank you so much for listening. I really appreciate you being here. If you love this episode, 45 other episodes available on the Briggs Wealth website, BriggsWealth.com, as well as on iTunes, iHeartRadio, Google Play, Player FM. Please consider subscribing to the podcast. It's completely free on iTunes and rating a review. Really appreciate that and appreciate you connecting with me. Anything I can do to help you out, please reach out. I'm a resource for you. Have a terrific week. Be well. Be awesome. And we'll catch you with a fresh episode next week. Take care, everybody. Thank you for listening to Money is Personal, the Briggs Financial Podcast. Please follow Briggs Financial on Instagram and Facebook for more terrific personal financial stories and ideas. check out our firm's website at www.briggswealth.com to schedule a free consultation. Past performance is not a guarantee of future results. This information is provided for informational and educational purposes only. Briggs Financial believes the information has been obtained from sources considered to be reliable, but does not guarantee the accuracy of the information being provided. This information is not meant to be a complete summary or statement of all available data necessary for making financial or investment decisions and does not constitute a recommendation. Please note that the information provided may include references to concepts that have legal, accounting, and tax implications. It is not to be construed as legal, accounting, or tax advice and is provided as general information to you to assist in understanding the issues discussed. Briggs Financial does not give tax, legal, or accounting advice. This information is not meant as financial or investment advice pertaining to your personal situation. The selection of appropriate investment or planning options and or strategies should be made on an individual basis after consultation with appropriate legal, tax, or financial advisors. Nothing contained herein is intended as a solicitation or an offer to buy or sell any product or service mentioned, and they may not be suitable for all investors.